We've been talking about perfect prayer. And today I want to pick it up where I left off last week. Perfect prayer. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. In other words, the Spirit helps in our infirmities and human limitations. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You might as well come into agreement with that right now. I mean, you may know a few scriptures, you may know a few things, but you do not know how to pray as you ought. But here's the good news. But the Spirit, everybody shout the Spirit. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the call according to his purpose. And we continue to talk about perfect prayer. And I'm simply calling this message this morning, from the beginning until the end. From the beginning until the end. Now, everything that happens in your life is not good. You know, I received word yesterday that Elder Tammy had a slight accident. That wasn't good. And I see Rahima with her hand bandaged up. That's not good. Probably don't feel so good either, right? So everything that happens to you in life is not good. But if you're a Spirit-filled Christian, if you're a Spirit-filled believer, you're not left to your own resources to try to cope with all the bad things that happen in your life. Isn't that good news? And many times we just don't know the words to pray. I wish I knew the words to pray in every situation, but I don't. Because some things are beyond my knowledge. Some things are beyond the information that I have at hand. But how many know God knows everything? How many know that God is an omnipotent God, omniscient God? He's an omnipresent God, and we don't know how to pray as we ought. But thank God for the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And he will help us when we hit that brick wall, when we hit that limitation, when you don't feel like praying at all, in that physical infirmity. The Spirit himself will make intercessions in us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the good news is this, beloved, our God is sovereign Lord. Let me say it again. Our God is a sovereign Lord. He is the possessor of all power and all authority in heaven and in earth. And because he's a sovereign Lord, he works in all things, not just isolated incidents, and he works in all things for our good. He works from the beginning until the end, regardless what your situation is this morning. Regardless of what your problem might be, the challenge you're facing, regardless of what's come upon you, God is faithful to work in it from the beginning until the end. Somebody ought to say something. He works from the beginning until the end. And God's been working since you were in your mother's womb. He says, before you were formed in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of your mother's womb, I called you and I sanctified you to be the person you are in me. And from the beginning until the end, God is still working in your life. Look at somebody and tell them, God is still working in your life. Now, last week when I closed, I posed the question from verse 28, do all things really work together for good? Paul says here in verse 28, for we know, not believe, but we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do all things work together for good? Now, this verse has been used to try to explain everything that happens that's bad in your life. It's been used to explain things away, to make excuse for things, from car accidents, from sickness, trouble. And some people have even applied this scripture in the event when a believer committed suicide. Well, you know, the Lord said, all things work together for good. Do they really? We can't take this scripture and misapply it. Is that right? Now, some things are truly said in the Bible, but when they're taken out of context, they're no longer the truth. They become the twisted truth. Yes, it's in your Bible. It says all things work together for good. But don't get it twisted. Don't take it out of context. Huh? Now, if you read the passage very slowly, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the call according to his purpose. All things work together for good when we allow the Spirit to pray in us and through us. That's when all things work together for good. Why? Because God is good. Is that right? And things work together for good whether you understand them or you don't. Whether you agree with them or you don't. Whether they bring pain to your life or not, they work together for good when you allow the Spirit of God to pray in you and through you. Can you say amen? Now, when the Spirit prays, I want you to understand what he's doing. God is perfecting. When the Spirit prays in us and through us, God is perfecting. There's a lot of things that happened in my life that wasn't good. But God wasn't on vacation when they happened. He saw them before I did. He knew they were happening before I did. But he says, I will make all things work together for good. I am sovereign Lord. I am involved in all details, not just isolated incidents. If God wasn't involved with all details of your life, then he wouldn't be God. He never stops being God. I'll use myself as an illustration. It's 2012, I believe. I was exercising 6 days a week, playing racquetball 2 days a week. Great shape, looked good. And I'll never forget, it was on a Monday. Suppose Monday's supposed to be my day off, but I never had a day off yet. But I was sitting at my desk, and I had my bag packed to go play racquetball. And when I stood up from my desk, I hit the floor like a sack of potatoes. I didn't know what that was, but it wasn't good. And I stumbled into the bonus room where my wife was sitting. And I said, I'm dizzy. I can't hold. I'm having trouble with my balance. And I'm going to just lay here on the couch for a few seconds till this thing pass over so I can go on down and play racquetball. Well, it didn't pass. My symptoms got worse. My head started hurting. Then I started feeling nauseated. So I did something that wasn't good. That wasn't good. The situation wasn't good, but I compounded the situation and did something that really wasn't good. I told my wife, I'm just going to go to bed. And I knew this thing would be gone when I wake in the following morning. I still had the symptoms. My wife says, you're going to see your doctor. And I went in to see my doctor. He looked at me, he says, man, you've had a TIA. What is that? A brain attack. He says, the worst thing you could have done was to have gone to sleep last night. You could have died in your sleep, but that wasn't part of the plan. That wasn't part of the purpose. But when he told me I had a TIA, notwithstanding the goodness of God, went into the hospital for 3 days, they couldn't find a cause. Didn't lose my mental abilities, my cognitive skills. Didn't lose no motor skills, no verbal skills. Didn't lose anything. Sitting up in bed, quoting scriptures. But why did that happen to me? Well, my doctor said to me in front of my wife, who do you think you are? You're not Superman. How's it that you're trying to pastor a church? Trying to build a church? Trying to finish a law degree? Who do you think you are? You're taking too much upon yourself. So my brain went tilt. That wasn't good. But God was at work in it, because God was showing me, you got to slow down. You got to let the church be my problem, not your problem. Don't worry about my sheep. They don't belong to you. And it took that to get me to where I am today. Why did it take that? Because I pray in the Spirit. And when I'm praying in the Spirit is praying in me and through me. And the promise is, and we know that, even in sickness, even in trouble, whatever the situation, how negative it may be. He says, but we know that all those things are working together for your good. I remember my mother and father used to whoop me. When I got in trouble growing up, I said, boy, this is for your good. And it didn't seem good at all to me, but it kept me out of jail. Did you hear what I said? I wouldn't know better than nobody else, but it kept me out of jail. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Glory to God. I want you to look at, we're going to go to one. I'll just quote Psalms 138. Psalms 38 says this: the Lord shall perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not the works of thy hand. Do you understand what God is saying to us? God says, I will perfect that which concerns you, because I'm a merciful God and my mercy endure forever. I will not forsake the works of my hand. I am with you from the beginning until the end. And just because sickness came upon you, I'm still at work. I will not forsake, come on, the works of my hand. Just because you were in an accident, perhaps you were injured in that accident, God says, I will not forsake the works of my hand. Just because your car broke down or your house burnt down, God is saying, I will not forsake the works of my hand. I am perfecting that which concerns you. What does it mean? That I am perfecting that which concerns you. God is saying, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for you. Look at somebody and say, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for you. Listen to me, beloved. Nothing or no one can circumvent God fulfilling his purpose for you. You may be delayed, but you're not denied. Because God says, I won't forsake the work of my hands. I won't forsake myself. God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. And just because we stumble sometimes, We fall. We run up against a brick wall sometimes. God works in all things. And he says, if you love me, and if you call according to my purpose, I'll make all those negative things, come on, work together for your good. Because I will not forsake the works of my hand. Now I want you to look at verse 27 of Romans 8, and I want to show you something very quickly. This is more powerful than you might think. Verse 27 says, and he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And he prays for the saints. Isn't that good news? Somebody's praying for you. He prays for the saints according to the will of God. Please notice the words in your Bible. Everybody look at your Bible. The phrase will, the will of God is in italics. Are y'all listening to me? It's in italics. What does that mean? It wasn't in the original text. It wasn't in the original manuscript. It was added by the translators. So what is the correct reading of verse 27? Listen to me very carefully. And he who searches the hearts, he knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And he make intercessions. He make intercessions for the saints according to God. Beloved, that's perfect prayer. God is perfect in all his ways. And the Holy Spirit make intercessions for us according to God. According to God. What do you mean? God's plan and purpose for your life. Is that right? Glory to God. That's perfect prayer. Perfect prayer. Now, Romans 8:28 is not for everybody. Don't get mad at me. I'm trying to rightly divide the word of God in truth. It ain't for everybody. And I think that's why a lot of people use this verse so loosely. You use it for everything you can think about. Long as, if it's negative and you want to explain it away or make an excuse for it. I see how God was working together for good when I had that TIA. You see? I see what God was doing. God was pulling the reins back on me. You see, God was saving my life because I'm not through yet, and he's not through with me. I could have died in my sleep, but that wasn't part of the plan. And many of you have had things happen to you, and you didn't understand them. He didn't say you would. He just said it works together for your good. If you allow the Spirit to pray in your spirit, it'll work together for your good. I will not forsake the work of my hands. But the Holy Spirit will pray in you and through you, and he'll pray for you according to God. Now look at verse 28 again. We know that all things, not some things, not most things, but all things. Don't worry about that person that dumped you, that ran out on you. Don't worry about that person that betrayed you. Don't worry about that person that took a dagger. It's like that person just thrust you in your heart with that dagger, stabbed you in your back. Don't worry about none of that. God says, I'll make it work together for your good. And one of the ways he make it work together for your good is to get all the no good folk out of your life. And we know that all things work together for good. But only for those who love God. How many love God? And only for those who are called according to his purpose. How many believe you have a purpose? Every hand should go up. You're not here by accident or coincidence. You were born on purpose. This is why I vehemently disagree that a child is born illegitimate. How can God give life to something illegitimate? Because he is legitimate. Don't get me started. I understand the dynamics of boy meeting girl. Girl gets pregnant. But it's interesting to me that we always want to shame the girl. And don't have nothing to say about the boy. But all in all, God is in it. You know why? Because he knew that child, even before that child was born. You don't call anything legitimate that the Creator, who is legitimate, he is legitimate. Is that right? And so you don't call the child ill. That's right. So everybody don't qualify for this. It's only for those that are called, that love God and called according to his purpose. Is that right? Now, there's something very interesting here. How many ever been in an accident other than me? I've been T-boned, and I've been T-boned by a car driving at a relatively high speed, and EMS wanted me to go to high. I just got and walked away. Just got out and walked away. But it was still an accident. Okay? Anybody ever had physical accidents? You twist your ankle, you break your arm, you pull something out. Come on, folks. You pull something out of place. Huh? Can I help you with something here? The Bible doesn't teach that they're accidents. In fact, in the King James Version, the word accident is nowhere to be found. In other translations, you may find the word accident one time, but it's not even in the context in which I'm speaking. In another translation, it appears about four times, and it's not in the context of, oops, something happened, and I didn't know it was going to happen. Here's what Proverbs chapter 12, verse 21 says. There shall no evil happen unto the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. That verse clearly tells us, no matter what happens in your life, you may call it an accident, but God sees it as just an incident. That's all it is. It's an incident, not an accident. An accident says, well, even God didn't know it. No. There shall no evil, no accident, no trouble that shall befall the just, but the wicked. Now that person, their lives will be filled with mischief. So we got to understand that even when we're in, quote unquote, an accident, God is up to something good. Even when we have a problem and we wasn't expecting that problem to be had, God is up to something good. This attitude gets you in a place where you live on top of your circumstances in life and not under your circumstances. So if you miss your flight, I know how that feels to miss your flight. I know how it feels when they tell you the flight's been canceled and you're standing at the gate to board the flight. But God is up to something good. Glory to God. And see, when I was in prayer, perhaps that morning, or perhaps even the last week or last month, the Spirit himself was making intercessions for me, come on, according to the will of God, and to be precisely according to God, his plan and his purpose for me, not just for today, but next week, next month, next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. God sees the end before the beginning. That's why he's committed to be with us from the beginning until the end. Now we got to understand something. I told you this last week. God is not obligated to make any of us happy. Happiness is up to you. The first scripture in the Bible, or the very first revelation in the Bible, tells us that our Heavenly Father is creative. Are you not God, the book of Psalms says? Have I not said you are gods? That's little g. You little g, not big g. Now, if the first thing we learn about God is he's creative, what does that say to you if you say, I'm unhappy? It's a terrible thing for a Christian to say, I'm unhappy. Why don't you tap into your creative, my God, your creative potential? Come on. If you're in relationship with God, come on. He's in you. You're in him. He's the creator. Then you need to get creative and turn your sadness into happiness. God's not obligated to make us happy. He's obligated to fulfill his plan and his purpose in our lives. Is that right? That's what God's obligated to do. You see, in whom, Paul told the Ephesians, we have also obtained an inheritance. Glory to God. We've already obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated, in other words, he decided beforehand, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So no matter what comes, no matter what may, God is still at work in your life. Some of you have been in bad relationships. And you felt like the other person is wasting your time. And you like hit yourself against the head and say, why did it take me so long to see through this? Well, that's what it took for you. And God was working in you to show you that you weren't there and you weren't all that. Hello, somebody. Don't ever be afraid to make a mistake because God is still God. And many times when you're overly cautious to say, I will never make a mistake, you just made one. Mistakes are not mistakes if you learn from them. Mistakes are not mistakes. If you learn from them, they become a learning experience. And so you're now more in line and you're more in conformity with God's plan and purpose for your life. But had you not made that mistake, you'd still be wandering around in your wilderness. A lot of people won't grow because they're overcautious. They're tentative. Is that right? This is why a lot of ministers don't grow. They're afraid to let God use them. I may make a mistake. Oh, that's very likely. But what does God do with mistakes? He forgives. Come on. He receives us as a father, and he loves us. You see, if you're waiting until you get it all together, you'll never get there. You will never get there. Let me tell you the kind of people God uses. Don't get mad at me. Now, I'm not telling you to go murder somebody, but God used Moses, who was a murderer. Is that right? He used David, who was an adulterer and a murderer. He conspired to murder. He used Saul, who was a man who abused his kingly authority and lived a life of disobedience. That's who God used, huh? He used Gideon, who was nothing but a coward. Huh? Most of all, he used Apostle Paul, who was a persecutor of the church. But Paul said that God chose him that he might be an example and a pattern of grace to others. Thank God for the grace of God. And by the grace of God, he's working in your life from the beginning until the end. Is that right? And he's working everything out according to his purpose. Come on. Not my purpose, not my will, but his. Is that right? Now I'm closing right now with Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. It's time for confidence. Being confident of this very thing. He who hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God will never get through with you. You're under construction from the beginning to the end, and God's going to be with you. I don't care if you get behind in your bills. I don't care if your car breaks down. I don't care if there's trouble in the family, sickness with your children. I don't care. God is still there. And he said, be confident in this very thing. He who began a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the coming of the Lord. No matter what comes, no matter what way. My God, it can be trouble, it can be sickness, it can be an accident or any kind of incident. God says, I will work all those things together for your good, because I've called you, because you love me, and I've called you according to my purpose. I will not forsake the works of my hand. I won't turn my back on my purpose for your life. Yes, there may be detours in your life because of your disobedience, because of your stiff-neckedness, your hard-headedness. Yes, you may wander around in the wilderness for 40 years when you could have went and achieved your blessing in 11 days. Israel took 40 years to make 11 days journey. But you know, God was still God, still providing for him. The purpose hadn't changed. The vision hadn't changed. Come on, the objective had not changed. The plan was the same. And I'm going to tell you something. While you're waiting on God, God is waiting on you. Yes, he is. He's waiting on you. Glory to God. From the beginning until the end. When the Spirit prays in you and through you, what is God doing? He's performing and perfecting according to his will. Be confident in this very thing. I will perform it, God says. I've begun a good work in you. And that was the day you were born. Let me back up. The day you were even conceived, God says, I began a good work in you. And I will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'll be performing and I'll be perfecting your life that you might conform to my purpose. Would you lift your hands with me? God's with you from the beginning to the end. Glory to God. Glory to God. And those of you that's not sure that the Spirit